Hey, everybody, welcome to Movie Chatter. We have a new home here at YouTube. You can find it at randomchatter.com/YouTube or youtube.com/randomchatter. So even if you get confused, you're not actually confused. You're still winning. So we are here on YouTube. We're streaming live on YouTube. We have a chat room in YouTube, so it's going to be easy to find us from now on. And we can probably even embed this in the Random Chatter site going forward. So that's pretty cool. Also, we're not going to have to wait to get the videos posted because they're just automatically, pretty much automatically posted right after the recordings. So that's awesome. We only had one little technical gaffe, and we won't mention Robin's name, but one of our podcasters had some difficulties joining. I'm sorry. That was out loud. Wasn't
you might have. Yeah, you might. Sorry. Have. Yeah.
It's only because I tried to interrupt you. So that's fine.
Yeah. That's what you get. By the way, speaking of gaffes, so the technical side of things is going great. The content side of things. So last episode, we were talking about what we're going to do this episode. And they thought, I really want to cover The Old Guard on Netflix. It's a really good movie. It's got Robin's girlfriend in it. Who is that again, Robin?
Charlize Theron.
Right. And.
Or Charlie is, you know.
Oh, you guys are on that kind of level now, right?
Nice.
Okay.
Nice.
Just saying. Yeah, that's good. I'm impressed. So I thought to myself, I remember talking about it. And I said, didn't we cover that already? And these two bozos here said, no, we haven't talked about it. We talked about it on Random Chatter, but we haven't talked about it on Movie Chatter and really like delved into the movie and all that.
I didn't think we did a proper episode.
Me either.
Did. Yeah, July 22nd.
Was it a proper episode?
It was a proper episode. We got into the...
I blame 2020.
In fact, we also had an additional discussion about, you know, it being an action movie with some depth to it. And we discussed what made an action movie a good movie instead of just merely a popcorn flick. So we actually had like a really deep dive into it.
I blame 2020.
Also, the fact that I actually don't listen to myself. So,
yeah, that's okay, Robin. Problem. We don't listen to you either. So,
I know I'm joined by minions. Yeah,
I was going to. So we were thinking about other topics, too. I was actually going to talk about the subgenre of time travel movies.
I'll talk about that with you.
Really tired. I'll see you guys later.
Inside joke for people. If you ever get Robin like at a convention or in a live chat somewhere or on Discord, you can go to randomchatter.com/Discord. You can talk to her there. Ask her about not just subgenres in general, but specifically the subgenre of time travel movies.
Not if you don't want me to visit you in your dreams.
Fascinating, fascinating discussion. I would love for people to have me visit in their dreams. That sounds like a good thing, doesn't it, Lou?
No, yeah, sure. Not really. No.
I guess it depends on what kind of dreams it is. Yeah. If they wake up screaming and, you know,
it is the Halloween season. So I'm going to suggest not.
Okay. And we are going to have to discuss what we're going to cover in October. So if you have any suggestions for Halloween or horror themed movies that you'd like to recommend to us, drop them in the Discord channel. There's a Movie Chatter channel. I should say the Discord server, and let us know. Now our conditions are: number one, it has to be something we haven't covered specifically before. Number two, and this is the tricky part, keep in mind, we are not really big fans of horror movies. So try to find something that has some sort of level beyond just the horror genre, either a lot of comedic value or a really good plot or a good character development, like something that justifies it being a good movie aside from it just being a good horror movie.
It's gotta be more than jump scares. I mean, it's gotta be more than jump scares or gore and then I'm okay with it.
Exactly. And we do have a list. We have a few things that some things we haven't seen, but we're going to skim through and try to figure out what might be good to cover. I know I want to watch The Hunt. It's a Blumhouse film that came out recently done by Damon Lindelof. Mm-hmm. And it's got some social commentary related stuff in there, too. I want to go back.
SES, right?
What's that?
Socioeconomic class. It's a.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
And then I think there were also some unintended correlation to current events and things like that as well. But and then also there was an older movie. I don't know if you guys have seen it, and I want to go back and rewatch it to see if it's discussion worthy. But I remember being surprised to find that it was a good kind of a psychological thriller as opposed to just a cheap horror movie. And that was Red Eye.
Oh, that's the flight movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember hearing about it, but I never saw it.
Yeah. So it stars Rachel McAdams, who is on a flight to go see her father, and Cillian Murphy, who basically kind of kidnaps her on this flight, and he's able to control her by the fact that he has someone there at the house with her father who's going to kill her father if she doesn't agree to do what he says. But it's more interesting than that. It's a little difficult to really control your hostage on a flight. It's interesting. So I want to go back and rewatch it and see if that's worth covering. Okay. Is there anything you guys have kind of in the works that you're thinking about checking out and putting on our list?
Well, anything what about yet? Us?
Well, that's what I'm asking. I'm asking, the three of us should decide together
what we want. Sometimes I adore you.
Not often. I know. Didn't we cover Us?
No, because I've never seen it.
Lou, are we sure we haven't?
Oh, really? Yeah, is this the 722 thing again?
Yeah, it is.
We did the other one, right?
We did Get Out.
We did Get Out.
Yeah, Get Out. We didn't do Us.
If we have not done Us, we need to do Us.
Because I don't think I've seen Us either.
I have not seen Us. Okay. I've been too afraid.
Yeah, no, I wanted to.
Peter and Yongo. Have.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Us.
I think we talked about covering it after we covered the other one, but just didn't get around to this one yet.
That could be it. It might have been on our list for last year and time just got away from us.
Yep.
So, well, then we definitely have to start with Us. Us is going to be the first movie that we're going to do for our Halloween coverage. So, and then we will resume the rotating back and forth through movies after Halloween.
Because that was a consensus. So that was a break consensus, because I'm the one who wanted to cover Old Guard. So,
yeah. Yeah, we should have a rule like if you choose a movie we've already done, like you lose your turn that round.
I did lose my turn.
Well, I was going to give you another turn for next time, but I mean, well, if we're all in agreement on that.
I think she loses her turn.
Yeah. I think.
Well, I not only choose Us and then lose my turn, Lou gets a turn and he just chose Us.
Oh, no. The choices are on pause for this seasonal thing. Because for seasonal holiday stuff, we should come together and choose what we're going to cover.
Clearly, the Jedi mind trick does not work over Skype.
This is not the plan you're looking for.
It was the plan I was looking for.
Right. So, the plan for tonight, because we just got confirmation that we did this episode already, like an hour before recording. We're going to pit some movies against one another. We are going to head over to flickchart.com. And for those who don't know what flickchart.com is, it is it's a website started by Nathan Chase and Jeremy, with the last name that Lou is about to give me.
No,
I almost said Jeremy Irons, which obviously is not correct. And it's Jeremy. I so apologize for not remembering your last name. Anyway, two great guys designed this movie website. It went live September Thompson. 9th of 1999. Thank you, Jeremy Thompson. So this is they just passed their 11th anniversary. And I know they've got a version 2 of the website that they're working on. They've been working on that for quite a while. But in the meantime, what it is you go there and you create an account. It's completely free. And you are given two movies. And if you haven't seen one or the other, there's a little button you can click underneath that says, I haven't seen that one. And it'll replace it with another. So you end up with two movies that you've seen. And you pick which one you like. And then it gives you another choice. And you pick which one you like. And over time, what this does is this gives you a ranking of what it has determined are your favorite movies versus your least favorite movies. And there are some complex algorithms behind the scenes that are working, determining, you know, how often you've ranked a certain movie over other movies and et cetera. It's not just like a really simple thing. There's some complex stuff going on behind the scenes there, but it's different than, I mean, the premise is if you say that Gone with the Wind is a 5-star movie and Star Wars is a 5-star movie and Pulp Fiction is a 5-star movie, I mean, pretty soon you end up with like 100 5-star movies. How do you know what your favorite movies really are? Right.
Mm.
So this, like right now, I can look at this website and I can tell you that, you know, now I've done some restructuring. I really need to go through and kind of re-rank some of mine, which is my own fault. But I can look at this list and tell you my top 20 movies of all time. First one, Blade Runner. Second one, Matrix. Third one, Empire Strikes Back. Fourth one, Star Wars. It's right there. Mm-hmm. And I can also tell you my least favorite movies of all time. And yes, 2001 A Space Odyssey is in there somewhere.
No. Oh, come yes. on.
Oh, yes. Come on. Oh, yes. It is right up there with, let's see, The Avengers with Sean Connery and Uma Thurman and Sky Captain, The World of Tomorrow. Yeah. So that's the cool thing is you, and you know what? It's great to just sit, like when you're just watching TV in the background, you just want to kill some time, or you're sitting in the waiting room at a doctor's office and you're kind of bored with the little match three game that you've been doing. Just pull this up on your phone and just rank movies. It's a great time killer. So that's what we're going to do tonight. Now we have seen a lot of the same movies. So for the sake of simplicity, and because we didn't really plan this out too far in advance, I'm just going to pull up.
Hey.
Well, we didn't.
Don't give out secrets.
Well, I think the cat's out of the bag on this one pretty well.
I'm
so
pretty sure it is.
Yeah. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pick my maybe top 100 or top 250 movies that I've already ranked, because they're all movies that we've seen almost certainly. And we're just going to go through and hit them up one by one and talk about which ones we think are better than the others. And we're just going to kind of freestyle this and see how it goes. So this is an experiment that you are joining us upon which you are. This isn't an English class. Thank goodness for that. So let's see. I'm going to switch the video over here and hopefully this works. Got my fingers crossed.
Hi, Lou. Hi, Eric. Oh,
you're still on. And here we go. Look at that.
Oh, you are so good.
So did you make a new account?
No, I did not. And you know what we should do? We should probably, if we decide that this is something that people like and that we want to do more often, we should make a movie chatter account.
Oh,
we will
be great.
Only rank things based on the three of us and what our thoughts mm-hmm. are. Now, the catch is I didn't want to do that this episode because at first there's going to be a lot of stuff that maybe you haven't seen. So there's going to be a lot of like clicking, haven't seen it until something comes up, which might slow down the pacing of tonight's episode a little bit. So for the sake of pacing, I'm going to use my own account and we're going to go through. They will probably skip some matchups, but for today, that'll make things paced a little better. And so then, like I said, give us some feedback. Account, what's that?
Is this your account?
This is my own account.
Okay.
Yep. And in fact, if you want to friend me there, there's a social aspect of this too. I'm just Eric, E-R-I-K. That's my username. I got in early, so for the first time in my life, I got Eric. So you can friend me there, and you can rank other people's lists. You can see the top ranked movies that you have not yet seen. There's all kinds of useful applications for this.
Yeah. And I haven't played with mine very much at all in the last couple of years, probably just because I just haven't been on it, but
yeah,
it's definitely fun. It's definitely a fun thing to be on there. I used to rank, you know, movies like Eric said, waiting in line somewhere or between different things you're doing. It's easy. It's, mm-hmm. it's just point and click.
It is. Okay. Give me 1 second. I'm sending someone the link. So go to randomchatter.com/YouTube and click videos, the second tab. And the first video is the current stream. I'm saying this out loud because as you guys are listening on audio, next time you come to the stream, you know, we're going to post a link in the Discord server, but that's an easy way to find it. Go to randomchatter.com/YouTube and that'll take you to our homepage, but it'll default to the uploads. Click on that second tab. That's all of the videos, including the live stream. And there you go. And we're right there. We've got a chat room and everything. I gotta get set you guys up as moderators too. I'm also gonna turn off the audio on my phone so that it doesn't chirp anymore. So right out of the gate here, we have two movies. And by the way, I want to clarify for people, neither of these movies is a Christmas movie. Just want to point that out.
One of these movies really is a Christmas movie.
You are free to watch it at Christmas time, and I highly recommend you do, because they're both good movies. But we have The Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers, the second one in the trilogy. Isn't there snow somewhere in it? Like in one of the mountains or something? Like, doesn't that count as... And there's elves? There's elves, Robin. It is so a Christmas movie. It has elves.
He's right. There are elves.
Yes. And then there's also Die Hard.
Lou.
And if you're going to argue that Die Hard's a Christmas movie because there's a Christmas party going on, then you have to give me that Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers is a Christmas movie because there are elves.
Christmas time, not a Christmas movie.
Exactly. There are a lot of things that happen at Christmas time. I poop every day at Christmas time. That does not make it a Christmas poop. Just saying.
Wow.
Not a Christmas poop. Yule log?
Yule log.
Sorry. Sorry.
Oh, Lou wins the show. Lou wins this episode.
I'm done.
In fact, I think that's our title for this episode. You'll log.
I'm out.
All right. So what do you guys think? Die Hard or The Two Towers? Which is the better movie? Now I'm gonna click on what I want to click on because it's my account, but you know.
Yeah, Die Hard.
Die Hard.
Die Hard. And why? Lord of the Rings. That's an epic movie.
It is, but I look at Lord of the Rings stuff a little differently. I wish I could rank that as a grouping because each movie is part of the whole. So I have a hard time ranking one movie without the other two. You know,
yeah,
that's my little hang up about that. So while it's not, it's a great movie. It's just I have a hard time ranking it.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. So, and I think I would also agree. Die Hard, it is in this case. So, I'll click on Die Hard. By the way, if you go to flickchart.com, you're going to notice this interface is a little bit different. This is actually, for the sake of the stream, I've zoomed in on just this section of the page. You guys will have the full thing. Over on the left side, it lists your top 20 of all time. You do have some ads, of course. That's how the site supports itself. But you've also got a little discussion thing at the bottom. Because you can have social discussions as two movies are being ranked, and you've got, like I can see right now, Die Hard held steady at 21 on my list. Overall global ranking is 34. That's pretty high. It wins 65% of its matchups. So you get statistics off on the side too. And by the way, we are not affiliated with flickchart.com at all. We just really like it. So yeah, I'm plugging the hell out of it here. So James and the Giant Peach and Men at Work. I have to say, I have no idea how James and the Giant Peach is on my top 100 list. I've got close to 2,000 movies on my list, and I think some of them I just haven't ranked often enough to sift them further down.
Like I haven't seen James and the Giant Peach, so I will abstain from voting.
Robin? I haven't seen Men at Work.
Oh. Okay. Of the two, I would probably say Men at Work is better. I was not a big fan of James and the Giant Peach. Men at Work, it was interesting. Kind of the tail end of the 80s movies there. It had Emilio Estevez and Charlie Sheen back before he got like crazy, who are brothers in real life, half brothers, I think. And it was actually pretty decent as 80s comedies go. So. All right, I'm actually going to choose. That was my top 100. I'm going to do my top 250. Let's see what we get here. Loading. Uh-oh. Maybe I've got too many things going through my connection here. Wouldn't this be a really bad time for the website to go down? That would
figure. Honestly, I created an account when you guys told me we were doing this, and I've been clicking through, and some of the pairings have been so awkwardly polar.
Well, that's part of the fun of this.
Like what? Can you give me an example of one?
So one I just did was McGuire.
Should be looking over here.
Shoot.
Jerry Maguire?
Jerry Maguire and like Jaws. I'm like, huh? Right? Just this strange thing. Like the two that are up for you right now, mm-hmm. I haven't seen either.
Mm.
So that to me wouldn't be a strange pairing, but like mm-hmm. Jerry Maguire and like Jaws.
Well, which would you pick?
Well, Jaws, of course, but okay. It was just a strange pairing. It's like not, it's apples and oranges / tangerines, not mm-hmm. even, you know,
but to be fair, that's how mm-hmm. rankings are going to work. You have to have one placed over the other somehow. If you're going to have a rank, you can't have ties in this. So I mean, some of them are going to be really easy decisions and some of them mm-hmm. not so much.
And that's some of the things you've got to give it your own thought process. This of how you're going to rank them. Is it based right. on, you know, how good the movie was crafted, the direction, the act, or is it how you feel about the movie when you watch it? Is it how you, you know, is it a movie that you'd want to rewatch again? So, mm-hmm. so there's all those things come into it in your mind. And at one point I blanked out my account and started over again because I wanted to change my thought process the way I did things and,
right.
you know, and just create a new ranking because, you know, I'd come to it where sometimes I'm in this mood and that affects how I'm going to rank a movie. You know, so yeah. it's different. I kind of look at it that way too. It's an interesting way to do it, but it's fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I got to the point where I started just ranking mine based on, did it bring me joy, I guess, to do the whole, what's the lady that you throw out the stuff that doesn't bring you joy?
The clutter.
Yeah.
Whatever.
So if there's something about it that I feel it excels at. It can be, so for example, Saving Private Ryan, incredible movie. And I never want to watch it again because it's a rough movie. Black Hawk Down is mm-hmm. another one. I think it's a very well-crafted movie, but it's hard to watch. I would rank those high because there's something about them that is just really, really phenomenally good. Kung Pao Enter the Fist is a horrible movie. But it just, it's light and fluffy and it's fun. And so it excels at the fun factor to me.
It brings you joy because it brings us angst.
Well, there's that too. There's that too. It brought me joy even before it started bringing you angst. But now there's so much more joy.
But like here, like I just came up with a ranking of Independence Day v Star Wars Episode 3. Ooh. How do I choose?
I'll give you a hint.
Like, how do you choose?
One of them is a mediocre movie, and the other one has Jeff Goldblum going up in a spaceship that they've never flown before and connecting with a MacBook to implant a virus using, I guess the aliens just happen to have 802.11a Wi-Fi with their ports right. open, no password or anything, and then it connected to it, and then the virus just happened to be compatible with the aliens' computer system. And then it brought down the mothership. Spoilers, by the way. So,
how do you rank those two? How do you choose? How do you choose?
The one that isn't an absolutely ridiculous premise. I'm confused by your question, Robin.
So anyway, just saying.
All right. Well, of these two, I'm going to choose. Wrong mouse. I'm going to choose Time Lapse, because. And this is actually a movie I really wanted to cover when we were doing the time travel movies, because it's the premise is somebody creates a device that it's actually they find out their neighbors in his shed before he either committed suicide or was killed, created a device that would take a picture. And the picture happens 24 hours in the future. So he's taking a picture of 24 hours from that moment. And he's dead and the neighbors find it. And so they start, you know, taking advantage of it. And things go wrong, as things do when you try to mess with the laws of the universe. It's a really fascinating concept and twist on time travel movies. And there was a lot of good kind of character dynamics in it, too. So. All right, next up. We're back to, coincidentally, we're back to Lord of the Rings Two Towers again. But this time, When Harry Met Sally.
Are you kidding? I think the audience needs to choose for me based on what they know about me.
Well, see, I would think most people would argue when Harry Met Sally, but you hate rom-coms.
Yeah, I do. So I'm going to choose the Lord of the Rings.
Lou?
You would choose Lord of the Rings over When Harry Met Sally?
I have a whole new level of appreciation.
Can I just not be your friend now?
For Robin's hatred of rom-coms, because wow, this is like the pinnacle. Who is it that writes the Nora Ephron? I think. Anyway.
Harry Met Sally?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and so. Sleepless in Seattle, and You've Got Mail.
Sleepless in Seattle is stupid, but. You know, Harry Met Sally is a classic movie. I mean, a classic.
But I have to say, I was really expecting her to say, you know, listen, I hate rom-coms, but I mean, it's When Harry Met Sally. That's what I was expecting Robin to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't expect me to ever say that.
I have no words.
Wow. Robin, you are back to being one of my favorite people again. That's yeah. Yeah. No, we're definitely taking Lord of the Rings, the Two Towers on that one.
Sorry, Lou. And don't you dare get me that for Christmas. Swear.
Oh, that would be... No. Robin, we would never actually get you When Harry Met Sally for Christmas. However, for the random chatter Christmas party that we're going to do, where Lou and I are going to come over to your house for the weekend, we would bring our own copy. We would never presume to get you your own physical copy of this movie. We'll bring it. It's all good. That's speaking of things that bring me joy, just the thought of that. Wow. Okay. Next up.
So Lou, what would you pick?
When?
Was it Harry Met Sally versus Two Towers?
When Harry Met Sally. Oh.
Wow.
I love that movie. I actually like that movie.
I used to like it, but my first wife was so obsessed with it. Like, I think she wanted to be Meg Ryan, not the character in the movie, but literally like Meg Ryan in any of her movies. And it got to the point where she had some of the same facial mannerisms and everything. And I don't know. It's like, it's weird now for me. Okay.
All right. This one I haven't seen Buried.
I was about to ask. Lou, have you seen Buried?
Seen Buried, no.
I almost want... So Buried is not a horror movie by any stretch of the imagination, but I almost want to include it in our October movies because it is... I'm claustrophobic. The entire movie is Ryan Reynolds in a casket having been buried alive. He's a contractor... for the U.S. military in Afghanistan or something like that in the Middle East. And he wakes up and he's in a coffin. He has a cell phone with, of course, very limited reception and a battery that's going low. He's got a lighter. And it's fascinating that they can make an entire movie that's just Ryan Reynolds in a box and still make it a compelling movie. Again.
Really? It's compelling?
I think so. Like, I was connecting enough with what was going on that it was difficult for me to watch the movie because of just like I started to like get triggered by the claustrophobia, some of the things that happen within the, like, I got really invested in it. Huh. And I think it speaks to Ryan Reynolds' ability to act. I mean, everybody thinks of him as a comedic actor, especially now because of Deadpool, but he can do drama really, really well. And this was a stunning movie. Not saying it's incredible, but it was definitely, it stood out.
So, sounds interesting.
So neither of you have seen it then?
No, I have not.
Hmm. Okay. I'm gonna rewatch it. I'm gonna add it to my list of things for us to maybe cover.
Okay. So as we were chatting here, I did the nuclear option and deleted my rankings again. So what? I'm starting from scratch on Flickchart. Yes, I did.
How many movies did you have ranked, Lou?
900.
That's a lot. It's gonna take you a while. Sure.
But the funny thing is, I start from scratch now, and the first pairing I get up here, which is interesting, Star Wars.
Yeah.
Against Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
No. Oh,
two George Lucas movies. How do you pick?
It's a really tough decision.
It really is. Choose. Both have aliens.
Sorry. I just thought I would.
So let me tell you, I got up to a ranking with.
Both have no regards for physics.
Lord of the Rings, the Two Towers, the Team America World Police. Now I know what Eric will have me choose. And I know what I'm going to choose.
What are you going to choose?
Really? You can't come here for Christmas.
You know how many times a week I hear that from people? Come on. Doesn't even faze me anymore. I would hope you would pick Two Towers.
I did.
Okay. Team America World Police is not a good movie. And again, Lou will remember. I've never claimed it was a good movie. Did I, Lou?
No, you did not.
I just said you should watch it, which you should have. And you did. I never claimed it was a good movie.
You did not.
And it is not a good movie, is it, Lou?
No, it is not.
So, no, Robin, I would not ever pick that over the Two Towers. So, so here, though, I'm going to pick Who Framed Roger Rabbit for this matchup because, I mean,
nice. It's
just Buried's really good, but it's not like that good. Mystery Men versus Die Hard. That's pretty easy, right? Die Hard. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The Martian versus 28 Weeks Later.
Oh,
even if it were, I think it would be a harder choice.
As good as 28 Days Later.
I was going to say, I think it would be a harder choice if it were 28 Days Later. I think 28 Days Later was better than 28 mm-hmm. Weeks, though. 28 Weeks was still pretty decent. I know it's not your type of movie.
No, I'm sorry. Oh. I just got Ferris Bueller's Day Off versus The Mask. I don't even know what to choose.
Oh, we're going to come back to that one. I'm like, oh, Robin, you got to focus on what we're doing. But that's actually good. I want to come back to that.
This one for me is easy. It's The Martian.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you don't even like horror movies at all. So
no, I have actually seen 28 Days Later, 28 Weeks Later. Okay. Those to me are not. You know, those are zombie things. I'm going to go with The Martian, though.
Okay.
More compelling.
And Lou, you would as well?
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Yeah, I would, too. We'll come back
to the chat room, too, on The Martian as well.
Yeah.
Ooh, John Wick. Hated the Cube. John Wick.
I love really John Wick. Liked the Cube. The Cube is one of my favorite independent films.
Yeah, I like the Cube, too, but I'd have to give it to John Wick.
Even though, so I want to come back to this in a minute, though. Back to the Ferris Bueller versus what did you have?
The Mask. It's hard.
So, you know, it's funny. Both. As I was editing the backlog of episodes of Movie Chatter today to try to catch up with the posting, I heard you talk about anybody who walks into one of your classes and says that they like Ferris Bueller automatically gets an F. And you thought you were going to uninvite me to Christmas because of that last comment. No, it's going to be because of this. I actually like Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And I think that while I never found any appreciation for it before, I think that now that I'm looking at movies a little more critically, I think there's actually something there in certain parts of the movie, maybe not the entire movie, but I think there's more to it than people give it credit for. I think people have become so numb to it because it had been overplayed on cable television for three generations or something.
Right.
Yeah. So The Mask is good, though. Even if you don't like Jim Carrey, like it's one of those movies where the Jim
is good.
The Jim Carrey-ness fits.
Mm.
Yeah. All right. So John Wick versus the Cube. I guess we'll go John Wick.
Yeah, sadly. But
yeah. Mary Poppins versus Kick-Ass.
I have never seen Kick-Ass.
That's a great ranking.
So
great matchup.
Back before we had any other superhero movies that were more grown up, like let's say The Boys series on Amazon Prime, which is incredible, by the way. Kick-Ass, which is based on a comic book. Very violent. It has Nicolas Cage. So the girl there on this movie poster, Chloe Moretz, She is, I think she's like 11 or 12, her character is in the movie. And Nicolas Cage is her father, who is trying to teach her to be a crime fighter. And so, like, in the first scene with the two of them, you see him shooting her in the chest to teach her how to take a gunshot. She's wearing a bulletproof vest, but he's also using a pretty large caliber round. That's kind of the way you get introduced to her character and throughout the movie. And it's and she's not the main character either. She's like the secondary character. It's kind of a messed up movie. But also Mary Poppins is so saccharine.
Mary Poppins.
Yeah. And I mean, it's, I don't know. Lou, what would you do here?
I'd have to pick Kick-Ass. I've seen Mary Poppins. It's just not my cup of tea.
Yeah, really. I liked it when I was younger.
Yeah.
I saw what you did there. Your cup of tea?
Yeah, with a spoonful of sugar in it. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, fine movie, but if I had to rank it based on enjoyment of the movie and, you know, technical merits, which I try to do when I rank them, it wouldn't stand up.
Yeah. And interest in seeing it again. Though I have to say that for its time, the green screen work in Mary Poppins was pretty good for the 60s. Incorporating live action and animation, I think they, you know, at the time they did okay. All right. I'm going to switch this over to my top 100. Thor versus Buried. We already talked a little bit about this. I'm actually going to say, I think I might say Buried on this. What do you guys think about the first Thor movie? Like, at the time it was interesting, but like now going back and watching it, it's just so slow.
Yeah, it doesn't stack up against the other movies.
I thought it was slow at the time, but I took it because
it's a good movie. I enjoy it, but it's a building movie for the, you know, for the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Right. Yeah, I'm picking Buried on this one, I think. Robin, go ahead.
I haven't seen Buried, so.
Yeah, but thoughts on Thor?
Yeah, I think we just watched it the other day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with Lou. It's not bad.
Still a fan. Oh, I hate Zootopia. Don't even.
Zootopia versus Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan. Arguably.
Why do you hate Zootopia?
The most favorite of all of the Star Trek movies to this day. And then Zootopia, a very successful recent Disney animated movie. Robin, why do you
hate Zootopia? Okay.
Why do you hate Zootopia?
It's just okay. I watched it once. I tried to watch it again and I got like all Robin.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I'd ever watch it again. It was okay. It was fun.
And I know Carrie in the chat room is obviously going to say Star Trek 2.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with Carrie. You got to go
I'm with
Star
Carrie.
Trek 2 all the way here.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm
picking Zootopia.
Oh.
Click.
Really?
What? Is this like not Zootopia. A democracy?
I really think Zootopia is. No, this is my account. When we create the Movie Chatter account, we will absolutely go with, you know, the 2 out of 3 majority vote. I like Zootopia. I think it's one of the best recent Disney animated movies. I think that, thank goodness it wasn't a musical too. It was fun. It was clever. The characters were interesting. The plot was good. The pacing was good. The animation quality was good. Like, there were a couple of things in it I didn't like, but overall, if you position the good against the bad, I think it's one of the better Disney movies that to come out of the I don't know, past X number of years. I like it.
This one's hard, though.
This one is hard. Get Out from 2017 versus Seven. So Get Out is one of the probably the most talked about recent psychological thrillers with a lot of social commentary, a very, very deep movie without, like, it doesn't hurt your brain to figure out everything going on because it's that deep. And yet there's a lot going on there.
Yep.
So I guess it's an easy, deep movie to get into is what I'm trying to say. And then you've got Seven, which is a classic movie out of the 90s. I would argue one of the classic movies out of the 90s, Brad Pitt, Morgan Freeman.
Mm-hmm. I would have to pick Seven here. I mean, Get Out was an incredible movie, but Seven to me just holds more, nostalgia, I guess, to it. Okay. It's been around for so much longer. It gives it a little more weight, I think.
Is it for you? Is it the which this is legitimate, but is it the nostalgia factor that would make you choose this? Or do you feel like,
no, I think it's
quality of the movie of one versus the other?
The movie and the time it's been out. So for movies for me to stand the test time, like I won't rank a movie unless it's been out for like 6 months. I don't want to see a movie and rank it right away. I give a little bit of time in my head to, you know, get rid of that newness.
Probably
bias,
smart.
Right? Cause yeah, you know, if you see something and you're like, God, that was incredible. And you come home and you're like, I'm going to rank that, you know, into my top five. Well, you know, no, I'm going to think about that for a bit. So I don't,
I've done that.
Older that's, movies more.
I've got to clean up my list.
Yeah. That's kind of why I used mine. I mean, but I give newer movies a little bit of a hard time because they've got to stand and test time with me a little bit. They've got to sink into my psyche and kind of say, yeah. You know, I mean, as much as Get Out was a fantastic movie and maybe in a few years it'll be, you know, higher on my list. Mm-hmm. I think Seven was just a much better movie at this point.
Okay.
The buildup to it, you know, it's one of the things where, and I've talked about this before on the show, that sometimes you have the first viewing of a movie that has one experience and a different experience when you see it later on.
Yeah.
And this is one of those movies for me personally that has that. And, it doesn't make it good or bad, but I try to rank that movie based on what the maker was trying to make me feel the first time I watched it.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? Cause like The Sixth Sense, another one that I would do the same thing with, because the maker had a direct, plan for how he wanted the viewer to see this movie.
Right.
And it changes the second time you see it. Elm Street, same kind of thing. So I rank him based on my first viewing of that movie and how I reacted to the tricks or the plays or the, you know, whatever they're doing to make that unique to the viewer. And then it was dead silence.
Well, no, I'm
sorry. I had
thinking.
My mute pedal pressed when I asked. I said, Robin, what about you? And then she didn't answer. And I'm like, I know she's got something to say about this.
No, I do. I don't know. I think I got to stick with Get Out, probably for the same reasons that Lou talked about with Seven. But to me, Get Out was way more relevant to my political and social consciousness.
Okay.
That always is at my fore sometimes.
Yeah. I think for me, I appreciate the fact that Get Out was both a good story in and of itself and then also had a lot to say without one compromising the other. It wasn't preachy the expense of the story, and yet there wasn't so much story that it couldn't convey the message it wanted to. I think it found that balance really well and excelled at both simultaneously, which is really rare. Seven, I like it. It's well directed. It's got brilliant actors in it. I had a hard time caring about what was going on in the movie the more I watched it. Like, I think with each rewatch, and I have not overwatched it either, but I think with each rewatch, I just realized more and more that it's like, okay, it's okay. Maybe it's a little overrated. I don't know. I think by today's standards, it doesn't hold up as well as other movies that have done similar things, but with more depth. And yet, phenomenal cast. I don't know. For me, I would choose Get Out between these two. Even though I like Seven, to be clear. Mm-hmm. But
fair enough.
I will just choose this, and I'm sure you guys have not seen Hero Dreams of Tsuchi. So,
no, I have not.
Robin, I know you don't like documentaries that much, and with very good reason, because a lot of times there's too much spin. It's too much of an agenda going on in a lot of them.
Remember, everybody always chooses when to turn the camera off.
You're right. And that's really important with documentaries.
Yeah. Yep.
That being said, I feel like Hero Dreams of Sushi is an interesting documentary that it's not about controversy. So you don't really have like a us versus them sort of a thing going on. So there's not, this isn't really about there being an agenda. This is about highlighting someone who is, you know, just his experience with running his business and all that.
Well, you know, we just watched a documentary last night called, I think it's called The Chefs.
Okay.
And it's a Netflix thing and they're just focusing on one particular person.
Okay.
And last night we watched Barbecue, but it was focusing on a woman in, I want to say North Carolina, just an amazing story. Usually not something I'm drawn to, but mm-hmm. this woman held my attention. She's like 85 years old and mm-hmm. one of the premier pit masters of, you know, old shovel and wood, smoking barbecue, like unbelievable story behind it. So if there's an unfolding of a character, in a way that draws me in, I could definitely do documentaries.
So this is less about a story per se, like not like a historical story over time, but more about a look at like a snapshot in the day or the current time of this guy. Hiro is, he has owned a sushi restaurant for years, but it's, when I say restaurant, it's actually a little thing like in a Subway in Tokyo where it's like you'd have a newsstand or something, right? Like what you see in an airport. And it's in a subway station in Tokyo, but it and I think he have both been officially declared national treasures for the country of Japan. Like it's, you have to book like 8 months in advance. You don't get to choose what you eat when you go there. It's whatever he's decided to prepare that day based on what was available at the local fish thing, you know, where they bring the fresh fish in from the, and they auction off the different individual fish and all that. And I think when I sat down, when I was watching the documentary and I did the conversion from yen to US dollars, I think it was something like $3,000 or $4,000 to go eat there. You can't get sake. You can't get anything to drink. And you eat what he gives you, but it's like this big thing. But what was interesting about the documentary is his work ethic. And some of the cultural differences with the care and preparation that he goes through is fascinating in the difference between the culture there and the culture here in the US. And I think there's some level of importance to that, at least for me. So I would recommend it. I think you would like it, Robin. Between these two, I don't know, like Hero Dreams of Sushi is a better movie, I think, but then The Last Starfighter has a lot of nostalgia for me. So I, you know, I'm going to cheat and you're not supposed to do this, by the way. I'm going to cheat. I'm just going to refresh the page. I would think harder about it if I weren't in the middle of a podcast, but we should move on here. Have you guys seen The Social Network?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And what did you think?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I watched it once. It was entertaining, but didn't make a huge impression on me.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
So Donnie Darko, even though you're going to play back the episode and find that I had problems with it.
I was going to say, I didn't think you liked Donnie Darko. You liked Donnie Darko better than.
Yeah.
I mean, if nothing else, Aaron Sorkin dialogue is witty and usually entertaining.
Yeah. I mean, the movie was fine, but again, it's, you know, how are you ranking it? What are you looking at in the movie? Right. Is it well-crafted? Yes. Is it outstanding? You know, did it do things that other movies hadn't done? Was it, there was nothing special about it to me. I mean,
it had a Nine Inch Nails soundtrack. It didn't sound like Nine Inch Nails. I mean, that's something that's never been done before. Okay. I'm with you.
It seemed special to me. Yeah. But I mean, you know, it was fine.
Donnie Darko, I think is definitely the better choice there. Carrie said, and Carrie would be more in tune with this than we would. It takes 10 years to become a sushi chef in Japan. Sure. Oh, Carrie, I was watching some sort of YouTube. It wasn't really a documentary, but it was a news segment on kendo and how difficult it is to become an 8th level dan in kendo. They have a competition every year. There's over 3,000 or 4,000 applicants, and there's something like a 0.5% pass rate.
Wow.
Can you imagine taking a test where you have half of 1% chance of getting through? And that's the people rough. That get through have like tried 14 times in a row. You have to be at least 46 years old to even qualify to test. You have to have been a 7th level Don for at least 10 years. It was insane. It was crazy. But Carrie's our resident martial arts expert on the Random Chatter Network. So, Old Boy.
Never saw it.
Another one of those critically acclaimed movies. Between the two, I think I've got to choose Old Boy probably. Here's a good one.
Oh, yeah.
So we talked about The Professional a few weeks back. In fact, I just got, that's another one of the episodes that's been backlogged that's posting in the next couple of days. I'm a big fan of The Professional. And yet Terminator 2 Judgment Day, one of the quintessential action movies to come out of the 80s. When you think 80s action movies that aren't just the stereotypical Schwarzenegger, Chuck Norris, Bruce Willis, one-liner action movie, you think Terminator 2, you think Aliens. There's like a handful that maybe Predator, maybe, though that was still kind of in that cheesy sort of thing.
Yeah, kind of tongue in cheek, though.
Yeah. But what do you guys think on this one?
And, you know, interestingly enough, both movies have a theatrical version and a director's cut version of sorts.
True.
Right? I mean, if it was director's cut version of Terminator 2 Judgment Day, I would say, yes, that's the one to choose. Based on theatrical release stuff, I would say Leon or The Professional.
How convenient for you that you have such a great excuse to not have to pick one.
Yeah, I thought so.
That was good.
But you're
2-0 for this episode, Lou.
I would between these, I would probably pick Terminator, I think, actually, just because I would definitely rank it as the director's cut. That extra 15 minutes of footage for me was changing in terms of how I view that movie.
Robin, what about you?
My gut. I got to go with my gut, and I got to go with Leon, the professional. It's just too easy to be a Terminator movie. And I think The Professional had a tougher road to be a compelling flick.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, you know, this is a splitting hairs decision on this.
Yeah,
one.
I think
I'm
so
not,
too.
I'm not landslide for Terminator. It's like, I'm picking it, but they're both really good movies. I just think that, for me, I guess one of the things that's tipping it over to Terminator side is maybe the pop culture aspect of it. It was a, you know, popular movie, more well known,
and it was groundbreaking for its time too.
Yeah, yeah,
James Cameron
had more impact on other movies down the road too. You know, what did it? How did it influence other filmmakers?
Mm-hmm. Right.
It was one of the early ILM movies as far as some of the CG work. This and The Abyss, I think, both had some groundbreaking computer graphics. When you've got the T-1000 kind of turning into the liquid metal and stuff like that. So it was more than just an action popcorn summer blockbuster movie. But I don't know. I think that The Professional stands up a little bit better, and I think that it was... I agree with what Robin said. I think it had to work harder to become.
It definitely did.
What it is. So yeah, I'm going to pick You know, that's another thing that we never got around to covering, talking about Luc Besson. We never covered the fifth element.
Mm. Mm. Hey, we don't talk about this next movie ever.
Spider-Man Homecoming? But it was really good. Spider-Man Homecoming versus Fight Club. So Spider-Man Homecoming was the beginning of Spider-Man in the MCU. And I would argue mm-hmm. that it was the best of any of the three different Spider-Man series. Am I correct? There were only three, right? Tobey Maguire, Anthony Garfield, and this one, right? Tom Holland. Mm-hmm. Not missing.
I think so. Okay. Yeah. Good. Sounds right.
I think it was really good. In fact, it's definitely in the top half of the MCU movies for me, even though it was produced by Sony, it still counts as MCU. Fight Club, on the other hand, though, one of those movies where it's different when you watch it a second time, which automatically is a plus for me. I mean, that's a big factor. And mm-hmm. you were just talking about that a bit ago. And sure. Two really good actors, Brad Pitt and Edward Norton, and kind of a bit of a surprise ending. What mm-hmm. do you guys think?
I have to go with Fight Club.
Same here.
I expected that. Okay. Yeah.
What do you mean you expected that?
I mean, Spider-Man was a good movie, but it's not The Craft that Fight Club is.
Right.
And right. that's why I expected it, because I respect your attention to these deeper qualities in film, Robin.
Yeah.
Oh. It was not an insult by any stretch of the imagination. Now, when we get to Ferris Bueller.
Like it was up against a rom-com, you know. Yeah.
Oh, so this is a tough one for me.
Oh.
Ex Machina. Have you guys both seen it?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We have not covered it on the show yet, have we?
No.
No.
Well, as much as we haven't covered The Old Guard. So, I don't know.
What? See, now you're confusing me.
Sure.
See, did we cover it or not? No, I don't think we did.
I don't think we did.
No. No, but I can just never be sure of what we've covered and what we haven't.
Yeah.
We need a database.
You kind of screwed the pooch on that one. We need a search field on randomchatter.com. Oh, wait. That would have worked if the goofball running the show had actually posted the episodes, huh?
Mm. Oh, well, no comment.
So, Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring versus Ex Machina. I have to say that of the three Lord of the Rings movies, while the first one was not as epic as the third, it was kind of, you know, forming the team, and it was the world building. Yeah. And I think that it may be my favorite. I don't know that it's the best of the three, but I think it's my personal favorite of the three. I don't know.
This is where I wish Slichar gave the option of doing those three movies as one.
Right.
Because they really were one. You know, I mean, even though it's three movies, I mean,
the way
the Academy awarded this movie everything for the last movie, Return of the King, and didn't give it to the first two, even though they're all done by the same people, the same time, and the same, you know, if they
The Academy.
Well, yeah, true. But I mean, they would have won everything all 3 years in a row. So they rewarded him at the end, you know, rightly so. But yeah, I as much as I love Ex Machina, I think I got to give this to Lord of the Rings.
Okay. Now, to me, Ex Machina was one of the most interesting AI-related movies possibly ever.
It is.
And I like good AI movies because, I mean, like we talked about I Am Mother, and this one came to mind right in that same discussion. I mean, you've got just a couple of actors and actresses together to carry the entire movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's got Donald Gleason and Oscar Isaac, both kind of at odds with one another, and yet not necessarily openly so, as they're, you know, doing the Turing test on this AI.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I think it is a brilliant approach to an AI movie that we had not seen before. And it really dove into the psychology of the humans dealing with the AIs as much as it did the actual science fiction of it. Robin, what's your take? I'm guessing Lord of the Rings.
I need to go with Lord of the Rings. I guess I'm an epic girl.
Yeah.
You know, when it really comes down to it, as long as it doesn't drown me and bore me in the grandeur of it.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Okay. I don't know. I'm on the fence enough. I'll go with Lord of the Rings. I think that's fair. We'll do maybe two or three more and then we will wrap it up for this episode. The 2009 version of Star Trek. This is the J.J. Abrams one. Versus The Abyss. James Cameron.
I haven't seen The Abyss in a long time.
I'm glad you finished that sentence with "in a long time," because for a moment there, you had me scared. No, I thought you were going to say you hadn't seen it.
No, I've seen it. It's just
been a long time for me too.
Yeah. It carries a feeling with me, not a one-to-one recollection, you know?
Yeah. I didn't mind the new Star Trek.
Epic movies though. I mean, The Abyss has got some great scenery. It was technically a hard movie to shoot.
Yeah.
But a lot of it's nostalgia though, right? Like if you watch it now, anytime I've rewatched it recently, it's slow. There's not a lot going on. The characters are a little bit too dimensional. They're like maybe 2.5 dimensions.
The characters aren't fantastic. You're right about that. But and you and I differ on pacing. I don't mind a slow build.
I'm okay with a slow
in a long movie like this.
So for me, it's not about the speed. It's about, because I can deal with slow movies too. I mean, I've cited some that are like some people would think just drag on forever. I mean, Buried, for example, is not a fast paced movie, but it's about, is it slow without being boring?
Mm.
And to me,
and remember, I like Meet Joe Black, so.
I like Meet Joe Black.
Brad Pitt, right?
Right?
I liked the beginning where he gets hit by the bus.
Oh, stop. Meet Joe
Black. Oh, because if the bus stopped, it wouldn't have hit him. It was okay.
There's something wrong with our co-host. Go visit him.
He's on the wrong setting, I think. No, great movie, and there's a great payoff line at the end of the movie. I won't spoil it in case anybody hasn't seen it, but
I don't remember it. I don't know. I like the first of the new Star Trek movies. I didn't care much past that, but I guess I'll go The Abyss.
I'm a huge Star Trek fan, and I'm going with The Abyss.
Yeah, I guess so.
Even more so if it's the director's cut version.
Well, this one's obvious. One's obvious.
Baby Driver, sure.
Hold on.
I love Baby Driver.
Wait a minute.
Baby.
Did disconnect? Drop from call?
Yeah. There we go. Yeah, I feel better now. Look at that.
Wow.
Lou, what do you think?
Truly evil.
I'll give you a hint, Lou. There is a correct answer.
There is a correct answer.
Baby Driver.
Deadpool. Yeah.
Deadpool. Very good.
Baby Driver is a perfect Valentine's Day movie.
Deadpool is a perfect Valentine's Day movie. It even came out on Valentine's Day. They even put up billboards with Ryan Reynolds and
Baby Driver. Perfect Valentine's
Day. Marina Baccarin, like a picnic on a field and doing the whole. And when it came out on DVD, it was Amazon's number one movie in the romantic films category.
Yeah. So, right. When this episode comes out, you do realize within about 30 seconds, there's going to be a divorce. So I'm just letting you know.
Yeah. I'm not married anymore. Oh, you mean you and Tim?
Yeah.
Oh. So Lou, have you seen Baby Driver?
I have not.
It's actually wonderful. Really good.
I heard it is, but I haven't seen it.
Yeah. It's really good use of music in the movie. I've got a lot of respect for the director. And I mean, it's got Lily James, my future ex-wife. She doesn't know it yet, but you know, we'll talk later. Yeah, so it's really good, but I mean, it's not Deadpool. Like
it's really good.
It is. It's really good. And it's got Kevin Spacey in it. Not as the lead, not one of the lead characters, but as a heavily supporting character. And it was just before all the controversy came out around Kevin Spacey. So I know a lot of people, you know, don't want to see the movie because they don't want to support that. But there's also a lot of other people in it who did really good jobs that I feel like I do want to support. Jamie Foxx is in it. Isn't what's his face from Mad Men in it? John Hamm.
John Hamm. What's his name? Jesus.
I don't know.
John Hamm?
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. I thought he was in it.
Yeah.
So
he's a really good actor.
He really is. And he's got some really good comedic timing too. And he plays out of what's the word I'm looking for? Out of character.
Out of his genre. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I mean, I have to pick Deadpool though.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I really do. Okay, we'll do one more good one and then we'll wrap up the episode. We'll skip this one. Because you hate Cube and neither of you've seen the awesomeness that is Kung Pao Enter the Fist yet. Yeah, that one's too easy too. Robin, which do you hate more, Cube or Zootopia?
Oh my gracious Lord.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. You got to pick between the bad movies too. I don't think either of these are bad movies, but you hate the Cube more than you hate Zootopia? Yes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Although I did just send my love a text. I said, I just chose Baby Driver over Deadpool. Are we still married? I'll let you know if he texts me back.
Well, I imagine he's just ghosted you. I don't think you'll get a text back. Do the right thing, Tim. Just ghost her. All right. We'll end on this one. Probably an easy one as well, but Wonder Woman versus Donnie Darko.
Wonder Woman.
You think Wonder Woman's better?
Wonder Woman, of course.
And Lou?
Tough call.
Wonder Woman doesn't have the same depth, in my opinion, as Donnie Darko does, but Wonder Woman, it's a superhero movie. It's exciting and, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Not blah, blah, blah. Hey, we need to cover Transylvania on this.
Who?
Transylvania.
The animated one?
Yeah. Hotel Transylvania? Yeah. Why not? Blah, blah, blah. You said it.
I've got something on this list right here. You can't see it because camera's not that good, but...
So here's the thing.
I've been holding something off in reserve for my pick. If you drop something like that on us. So,
Yes.
Was that a threat? Yes, that was a threat.
This is the one thing I'm not thrilled about here is you pitted apples and pears.
I didn't pit them.
Well, the people,
they will both fall somewhere on your list, Robin, and you have to determine where on the list they will fall. So, I mean, you're pitting a movie against a movie. You're pitting fruit against fruit. Maybe apples and oranges, but they're both fruit. You can compare apples and oranges.
No, you can't.
You totally can. It's explained in a song called Pillow Talk by Lil Dicky. Go to YouTube. Incredible music video. You should watch it.
Lou, what do you think?
Here? I already said Donnie Darko.
You already said Donnie Darko. Oh. And you said Wonder Woman. Yep. Fetmatic in the chat room said Wonder Woman.
Lou.
I'm sorry, was that wrong?
I was giving you a chance to change your mind.
Oh, okay. I like both these movies, but it's one of those ones that's tough because they are such different movies. And Wonder Woman's a fantastic movie, which I'll love to watch again whenever I have the chance. But I think Donnie Darko, and I'd probably rather rewatch Wonder Woman than Donnie Darko. But Donnie Darko is definitely a deeper story, more going on there, and hey, time travel.
Okay.
That's not a subgenre.
All right. So here's what I'm going to do.
Yeah. Put a pin in it.
Here's what I'm going to do. Because I like cliffhangers in movies and TV shows, I'm not going to tell you guys what I'm actually going to pick to break the tie here. You guys have to come to Discord, randomchatter.com/Discord. That'll give you the invite link. It's free to download the app if you don't already have it. Most people, it seems like, already have it these days. Join us in Discord. Go to the Movie Chatter channel and ask me there, which I ended up picking, and I will tell you.
Oh, and I will also post my divorce papers there too.
Oh, we want to see that. Actually, if you can like put it on TikTok, if you can like get a video of it.
I don't even know what TikTok is, except for the sound of clock.
You probably don't, do you?
Sound of clock mix.
Wow.
Yeah.
Lou, congratulations for all the jokes I make about you being old.
I'm not old. I'm discerning.
I think you're dis something. I think Robin.
She dissing us?
Yeah, I'm dissing her. But this is the end of the episode, so we're going to wrap up.
There it is.
This episode. I see what I did there. We're going to wrap up this episode of Movie Chatter. Thank you for joining us, especially on our new home here at YouTube. So don't forget, if you're listening to the audio of this, go to randomchatter.com/YouTube. Yeah, we got to wrap it up because Lou's yawning here.
Me too.
It's past his bedtime. It's okay to call you out on it, Lou. They're seeing you on the video. They're going to know anyway. And we appreciate that you're up late. Well, no, they're not going to hear on the audio. But what they are going to hear, Lou, is me pointing out your commitment to this network and to bringing quality content to our fans. And that means a lot to me. And I'm being completely serious here. Lou works his butt off for this network. And I think that it's important every now and then that we take a moment to point that out to people. In fact, Carrie here in the chat room, we've referred to her a couple of times this episode. She helps run the website. She's one of the moderators in the Discord server. She's a host on several shows, DC Talk, Cape Chronicles, probably something else I'm forgetting too. She also works her butt off. And then there's Robin, who doesn't know what TikTok is. So I think it's important to point things out
about people here in the network
so people appreciate us. Yes, you do.
I could at least find out.
West Virginia. And the good thing about West Virginia, you don't even have to come down to hunt me down. You could just nuke the whole state and it would probably be like better, right?
Yeah. Gentlemen, so, I've waited weeks to record this with you.
Yeah, we've had a bit of a delay, but we're back.
And you get to do the one you wanted to do.
I know.
Because we already did it.
I will have to go to dream.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this episode. Thank you for everybody who joined us in the chat room. We will be recording alternating Tuesdays and Thursday nights at about 8 p.m. Eastern. Again, we'll have it posted in Discord. And I think you can actually schedule things on the YouTube channel so you can see when upcoming episodes are. So I think we're going to start doing that as well. And don't forget, most Sunday nights we do live shows, but one out of every four we don't because I'm working that night and I'm the one doing the video production. So this weekend, I think we're actually doing Saturday morning. We're at least going to be doing Echo Base. We're going to be covering the Mandalorian trailer, all of the rumors that have been going on with Pedro Pascal and the Mandalorian. And it's going to be an interesting episode. So if you're awake Saturday morning, I mean, what better reason to get out of bed on a Saturday morning?
Right.
Better yet, you know what? You don't even have to get out of bed. You can watch us on your phone. There you go. Making it easier for you. So
take us to bed. Yeah.
Take us to bed with a wake up next to us in the morning. I mean, wow. Really.
Now I'm really going to bed.
Right. Yeah. She's anxious.
What was life from Top Gun? Take me to bed to lose me forever. Yeah. There you go.
Oh, the Top Gun quotes. Okay. Yeah. That's going to do it. All right. Take care, everybody. Have a great week.